Welcome to Grace Community Church On Demand, the weekly podcast from the Sunday services at Grace Community Church in Rupert, Idaho. Here at Grace, we believe in building the kingdom of God one person at a time. We're passionate about loving God, loving people, and following Jesus. Let's get into this week's message.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. If I can have our panel come up and please join me. Awesome. We've got a really exciting service that's planned today. And guys, I'm super excited about this series that we are in called Love Stinks. And if you're here, you might be thinking, well, isn't love like the central theme of Christianity? And if that's the case, how can it stink? And really, it's just been a fun play on words. And we just like the song, really, is why we called it. No. But love can really stink whenever you redefine it, when you make it, something outside of God's original design for it. Come on, it can stink. This is why we've got so much divorce in the world, why we've got, problems with domestic violence and issues within the home. And so I think now more than ever, we need strong, healthy Christian families, right? And over the last 10 years, and maybe even longer than that, I was speaking with my wife, and we've just seen a decline whenever it comes to the family unit. Can I just share with you, one of the things that is trending today is that there's a lot of millennials that are just so tired of family being done wrong. You know what their answer is? Just not to get married at all. Their answer is just to kind of shack up and when it doesn't work, at least there's no real cost involved. And I'm just telling you, if that's your mindset, it will cost you, because once again, you're going to find that love stinks when you begin to handle it outside of God's plan for it. And so I believe that the church should have an answer to the problem. And guess what? We do have an answer to the problem because we've got the Word of God, right? Come on, somebody. There is an answer to every question that you have. There's the right answer, not just a answer. There's an answer to every question that you may have found in God's Word. Before I forget, I also just want to welcome our online guests. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got quite the online church that that is a part of Grace Church, and so we welcome you today. I've asked the people that you see in front of us today to be a part of this panel. And let me just put a disclaimer out there. There's not one of us, not one couple up here that are experts in the area of marriage and relationship. Like, we don't carry that title. But I can tell you this, that we're all students, right? You know what? If you will commit to being a student of family, then the next thing you know, you're going to wake up one day and you're going to find out that your family is functioning a lot better. You're a lot happier. And then, oh, by the way, God's going to create some space for you to be able to speak into somebody else's life. And so all you see here is, you don't see any experts, but what you do is you see some people that are students that want to get our relationships, our family relationships, more in line, more in order, and more godly. Can I get an amen here today? And so I want to introduce the panel just real quick. On the very end, we've got Wayne and Marie Bendelay. Come on, somebody say, raise the roof, or do something. Come on, somebody, do the wave, or no, okay, all right. And then next, we've got Steve and Jennifer Lotta. Come on, somebody. And then we've got the Miss Beautiful, the one and only Tina Turner in the house with us. My name is Travis. And then we've got my daughter and my son-in-law, the best son-in-law a guy could ever have, Mr. Bo and Ashley Stevenson. And then we've got Rick and Autumn Toondag. Woo! Somebody likes you guys. Is that your family? No, okay. that's your mother-in-law? Okay. Okay. And then we've got Chris and Monty Bean. Come on, somebody. Woo. And so Anyway, I'm very excited about, did I just drop off here?
Yes.
Okay. I'll just keep.
I'm switching you over.
Oh, you're switching over. Okay. Let me see that just for a second. I'm very excited about just our time together. And before we dive into, you know, the meat of the message, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity just to be in this place and just to worship you, Lord God, as we have been able to. Lord, your presence is strong in this place. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just open our hearts and our minds and our ears, Lord, that we could receive from you. I pray that our time would encourage people, equip them, and let us also have fun. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Am I on yet? Okay, excellent. So check this out. I went to Facebook. And listen, this is not like a superiority statement, me being in the highest seat. I just wanted to be able to see everybody. I just wanted to be able to make eye contact. But anyhow, I put a post on Facebook, and I asked just the general population. I just said, hey, listen, whenever it comes to marriage, whenever it comes to relationships, what are some questions that you think would be great to address? What are some topics that need to be talked about? And I had a wonderful response. I had a lot of people that just posted right on the Facebook page, but I had several that private messaged me. And so listen, I've picked out seven questions that people are asking, and we're just going to do our best just to share some responses to you. Now listen, once again, nobody up here is an expert. In fact, there are some of you that may have better answers than what we're able to give you. But this is what I can tell you. If we prepare our hearts to receive and to participate, then listen, I promise you, you can leave here today with at least something that will help your marriage go to the next level. Amen? All right, so listen, question number one is this, and this is kind of a light question, but it says, is happiness in marriage a myth? Is happiness in marriage, is it a myth? And who would like to take first dibs at answering that question? Mic drop, there we go. Yeah. By default. Come on, who would like to go? Is happiness in marriage a myth?
So I went first in first service, so I'll go first again. So is happiness in marriage a myth? So, and I said this in first service, I'll say that again too. When you walk in the house every day to the smell of homemade fresh tortillas, happiness is just right there, okay?
So, yes.
I don't know whose house that is, but it's a happy house.
Yeah.
I promise you it's happy. So, Pastor had me all messed up because I talked about tortillas, and then he deferred a question to Chris and Monty, and he said, I went right to the beans, and I'm like, now I'm hungry.
Yeah. So,
but in all seriousness, I don't believe so. I don't think happiness in marriage is a myth at all. Marriage is ordained by God. He's preparing himself to come back for his bride, and if he's going to take us to a place so joyous as heaven, then, I mean, it can't be anything but happiness and joy. And so, and I think so many times too, you have to purpose. You purpose to be happy. You know, you can choose every day, and it takes a lot more work to be negative because you have to choose to be mad all day about something or choose to be upset. It's just so much easier to choose to be happy. So I think that a lot of that happiness starts with the choice.
Yeah. So how do you, you know what I'm saying? I just want to not be a separatist here, but you know, we've got this nature, this fleshly nature that for many people, like the bend is going to be towards, you know, what's wrong with my life instead of, you know, let's be thankful for the things that are going right. How do you combat that? I mean, because probably every single one of us have the ability, you know what I mean, to look at the glass half empty or broken at times, but what do you do? I want to know what you guys do to, you know, whenever you find yourself maybe not making the choice, how do you shift gears? Ooh, it just got real. It just got real.
No. I think especially, I mean, first of all, you're two people coming from two different total walks of life. You've been raised totally different. Your values may have been different. What was important to you may be different. So naturally, there's going to be things that you don't agree on. I mean,
sure.
It'd be weird if everything was, you were exactly alike, okay? But, you know, there's those things. And we all find out what they are over time. She knows what my buttons are. I know what her buttons are. But I think you have to choose not to go there, literally. Like, you have to choose. You know, if I know something makes her mad, and she said this, and she's going to be mad at me because I took her answer to another question later on.
Don't.
Yeah. But if I know what upsets her, that's the last place I should choose to go. Okay? That's
sure.
The first thing I should do is choose to love her, and I have to purpose, you know, hey, if I want to be happy, I should want her to be happy. Because, fellas, as you can well attain, if mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Nobody's happy.
You know, we have to choose, I think, you know, in what you're saying. I mean, we can always focus on the negative. It's easy to pick at those things.
Sure.
Sometimes they're easier to find, but we have to look beyond that and say, hey, if I want her to look beyond that for me, I have to do that for her.
Yeah, that's so good. All right, anybody else?
So, Pastor, what he was going to say is, I get upset and I start arguing with him. And I want him to argue back with me because I'm mad. And he will not do it. And it makes me even more mad. So then I don't want to talk to him.
Yeah.
But sometimes I stay home with our three kids. Well, two of them are in school, but when they get home. And sometimes I've had a rough day, and they are his kids when he gets off from work.
Sure.
But sometimes he has to remind me, you know, at least we have healthy kids.
Yep.
At least we have kids. Some people can't have kids.
Sure.
But sometimes he just has to tell me, it's okay. I know you've had a rough day. Go do this. And I got it. So.
Yeah.
Sometimes he has to remind me to be happy.
That's so good. I love it. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes, Chris.
I think that happiness is a choice.
Yeah.
We made a choice when we made a commitment to be married.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are going to stick with your vow to say that I'm going to do this until death do us part, then the D word or divorce is not an option.
Yes.
So how do we figure out how to be happy? How do we figure out how to make that choice? Bo said in first service about there's things that just, you know, drive us crazy.
Yes.
But if we look beyond that, there's many more things that make us happy.
Sure.
So
yeah, I love that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, early on our first year of marriage, we decided that the D word wouldn't be used in our house. You know, because it seemed like we were first year of marriage is divorce. You know, we might be perfect on the outside, but you know, inside it was tough. So, yeah, we just made the agreement that the D word wouldn't be used in our house because it wasn't an option. And I told her, you know, she can't leave me because if she leaves me, I'm going with her. So
yeah, there you go.
She really don't have a choice, I guess. But
that's so good.
I think, sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, there's so many things that when you first get married that you love about the person, and then after time goes on, you get used to them or stuff, and then they're the things that annoy you. But the thing we got to do is you got to focus on the good things. When we start focusing on the bad things, that's when I feel that, like, coming from a divorce, that you want to start changing them and making them. Well, you can't change a person. A lot of the things that you have are just things that you're raised with that are part of who you are. So you've got to focus on the good things about the people, the you know, like, what's great about them and what you love about them, instead of being, well, I hate that, he does this, how can I change him? And then all you're doing is focusing on that. Then in the end, you're like, well, I can't change him, I'm done with this, and you want to move on.
Yeah.
So you've really got to stop to, you know, and choose that, hey, you know what? There are great attributes. There's things that I do wrong that she hates, and that's just who I am. And so she's got to learn, and same vice versa. So we've just got to choose to look at the brighter side of things than to look on the negative side.
Yeah, so good, Wayne. You know, I think a great goal for us all would be to just have fun for the rest of our lives. And what I'm thinking is that if you're, let's just say you've got a business trip or, some sort of a trip that you need to make, how great would it be, like, if your spouse was the number one person that you're like, I don't care who else goes, but I want to make sure that she goes, or I want to make sure that he goes, because we have so much fun together. And I just think that that's a great goal for all of us to shoot for. And so, number two, are you ready for number two? Panel? All right, number two. How do you make time for your marriage with little ones? How do you make time for your marriage when you have little ones? Now listen, I understand a little bit more about the question here. The person that was asking, was they're interested about keeping intimacy alive when you have children, when you've got little ones. So who would like to start with this question? How do you make time for your marriage when you have little ones? Okay.
Yeah, all my kids are here in this service, so this will be fun.
They got big smiles on their face.
You should have seen their faces when he commented on, when mama's not happy, ain't no one happy. But I think the biggest thing, when Steve and I got together, we just made a point to make sure we had a night set that we spent time together. And all my kids and all our friends and family have understood from day one, we have date night. One night a week we spend inside or outside, just us two. And I think that's super important too, even if you have to schedule it, because our lives are crazy. Make a point to spend an evening or some time with your spouse, because it is difficult when you've got kids, you're running everywhere.
That's good. Anybody else? Ashley.
So I know I'm supposed to go because we have the littlest kid here.
Yes.
But learning with that, he's 1 year old now, and so he's actually great and has a bedtime around 8 or 9. And so we don't go to bed that early because that's way too much sleep. We did that for a while. But we take that time, and not every night, because we're not perfect, but a lot of nights we'll just sit at the table and just like have those deep conversations. And then intimacy is also about physical, so there's time for that if we want to, you know. And so, but we can have those important talks. Ours isn't as much as of a date night like Jen and Steve, because it just doesn't work as well. We live in the middle of nowhere to go out to eat a lot. But we do it at home, so we are on the same page and just understanding each other, communicating, just all the things that we know we need to work on, we try to do when he falls asleep.
Yeah, so good. I told First Service that it's really awesome, this stage in mine and my wife's life, seeing your children parent and doing some things better than what you did when you were, you know, dealing with children their age. Like our kids, I wish we would have thought about having like, okay, it's time for bed, but they just kind of stayed up, and really that infringed upon, infringed upon our time together. And so anyway, I'm learning from my daughter and her husband. That's powerful. Anybody else have anything to speak to? How do you make time for your marriage with little ones? Yes, Rick. Yeah.
Yeah. I do, Travis.
Oh, okay, yes. Yes, Marie.
On ours, even in my first marriage, my parents always made sure that we had time for each other. If they saw we were getting stressed out or just needed a break, they would automatically offer just to take the kids, give us a weekend away, a few hours away, just something that way. And both of our parents are definitely good that way still now, even with all six of them. I know they're old enough sometimes to stay with themselves, but if they say we see that we're needing some time away and just getting stressed out, they'll definitely call up and say, hey, we'll take them. And so definitely take advantage of those times, especially those with younger. If you don't have family close, definitely there's people in the church that I think would love to step up and take care of them for you.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, we came up with a great idea. Like once a quarter, the church needs to find some babysitters for all the young couples with kids. And just, we'll watch the kids. I don't know who's going to do this. I say we. But we'll watch the kids for a few hours so that you can go out to dinner. And go. That's a great idea, right?
Yeah.
All right. So we need some babysitters. Go ahead and sign up. Right at, No. There's a sad statistic that's rising, and that is that people are divorcing whenever children are young. And I believe that the reason is because you're investing so much time in one another, and then all of a sudden you've got this little one that now requires so much attention, and you're not getting as much sleep, and just everything changes, and people, you know, are feeling neglected in their own marriages. And so let's change that statistic. Amen. Let's make some big changes there. I liken it to business owners. I want to talk to you just for a second. Business owners, you know, when you first started your business, your farm, your, you know, if you have a storefront, it doesn't matter what it is, but you know what I mean? You did the extra things. You were making connections. You know, I look at Bo. He's constantly trying to pick up more and more ground. This is a plug for Bo. If you want to sell or rent some of your ground, there's right here. Okay. All right. So, but he's constantly new. He's got a new family. He's working. He's looking. He's trying to find, you know, ground. But this is the deal. Let's say 10 years from now, he stopped doing the things that he's doing right now, networking, having the conversations, working hard. If he stopped doing those things, his production, his productivity would probably hit a lull. It would probably go down. And so what I want to point out is we can find this in marriage. When we're first together, it's like, oh, I love you. We're doing all the sweet things. We're, you know, we're putting our best foot forward. But then we get comfortable and we stop doing the things that we once did. And our marriage also can go into a lull. So I want to give you permission to freshen up your marriages again and go back and do some of the things that you first did. Amen? All right, any other in regards to that before we move on to number three? All right, number three, this is in the form of a statement and then a question. I know that the best thing that I can do in my marriage is become the best me that I can be. There is a lot to work on. Where do I start? And so the idea is like, listen, I need to work on me so that I can have a better marriage. There's so much to work on. Where do I start? And I want to say this, panel, it doesn't all have to be spiritual. So who would like to go first?
Yes, I will. I think in talking in first service, we kind of went, it's putting ourselves beside and putting the other person first. When you're dealing with all this, you have the tendency, and it's our nature to, you know, it was me, it's all my stuff, and now it's our stuff, and all that kind of thing. You know, you got to stop and say, hey, you know, what does she need? What does, to put her first and to focus on her, because if I keep focusing on myself, then things get rough and we all start fighting. But I'm focused on her and putting her needs first, it makes everything a lot easier and a lot better.
It's good. Anybody else?
I know for me, on the spiritual aspect, I wanted to become a better mom, better wife. This new year is 2018 hit, and so I was like, I want to try to get a book or something like that to help me with these things. And then I realized, like, God gave us the Bible, the perfect book on how to do all these things. So that's how I've personally been working on creating a better me, and I think that all of us can do that, because if we're in tune with God and working on ourselves to become more like Christ, then our marriages will see the overflow of that.
Yeah.
And then on another aspect, like for example, when we first had Stetson, he was about 3 months old and Beau would come home every night and I'd just be stressed. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm new at this. Like, what's going on? So I'd be like, Beau, can you just keep him before dinner? I'm just going to go for a run down the road at the high school. So that was making myself a better person to just relieve my stress somehow. And I know that a lot of times in marriage, we need to have those things for ourselves that we just take the time to do. Mm,
that's good, Ash. Anybody else? Yes, Monty.
The Bible, we get married, we become one flesh. And this thing keeps coming up in my mind of iron sharpens iron. And as a couple of one flesh, that's where that should start. And if we will let our defenses down and allow each other to sharpen each other, knowing we're not going to want to use each other to cut each other. Just sharpen our skills, our attitudes, and our... just relax around each other. Maybe we can relax around everybody else, too.
Sure. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes.
I think the biggest thing, too, is my husband and I were talking last night on when you do something for someone else or love someone else, it's amazing what it does to your own heart. You know, you give and that pleasure you have of seeing them happy or prosper. I think that needs to happen more in a marriage because I struggle with that. I get so annoyed and so irritated with the things that he does that I can't stand that I sometimes forget, which isn't very many, which I forget to praise him and love him and be thankful for the little things that I am blessed and lucky to have. So I think that's one of our main things we need to work on.
Yeah, that's great. Yes, Rick.
I've always found that if I want to find out what's wrong with me, all I got to do is ask my wife, okay? So, now I say that in jest, but what a better way to open yourself up and communicate with your spouse. Say, hey, I know I'm not the best that I can be right now. How can I be better for you? And there was a time that we had to do that when our oldest was really small, and I said, okay, I get this strange feeling I'm not helping enough. Okay, so what can I do to help you more? And it helped us grow as a couple, okay? Dangerous question, I know, okay? But it helped us grow as a couple more because then I was getting direct feedback from her. Hey, this is what I need you to do. I'm cool with this part, but there comes a point in time I need you to step up and help me with this. Great, because guys, we're like that. Sometimes we're like, not that we won't do it, we just don't know, you know? So just, you know, and so it's a scary time sometimes to be like, okay, tell me what to do. But sometimes it opens up a great communication between the two of us when I say, hey, I want to be the best husband that I can be for you. You know, help me out.
So good. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 22, it really challenges us to be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And so I love, and Ashley's totally on point, that going to the book, like the book, you know, amongst all books, you're going to find exactly what you need, you know, to strengthen your family, to be a better husband, a better father, you know, a better son, a better wife, mother. I mean, you can just keep going. But the idea is to implement the word into your life, because it's one thing to know, but it's another thing to do. And so this is why the Bible specifically says, listen, let's be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Because I can tell you this, and can I just be honest just real quick? Most of the situations that we deal with whenever it comes to family issues, it's not a knowing problem. Like most people that will go to counselors, like real counselors, like people that are professional counselors, they go to hear what they already know, but they've chosen not to do. And so anyway, let me just say it like this. My wife and I were she's with me always, but I'm on a health kick again. I got to lose weight. I'm losing weight. She's going to the gym with me all the time. Do you know somebody that doesn't know anything about losing weight but will put in the work and start eating a little bit better is going to be more healthy than a person that that has their PhD in exercise, exercise, but yet they're a couch potato. And so your knowing is not doing. Let's be people that take what God's word says and begin to implement it and see what God, come on, can do. Number four is this. Are you guys enjoying this? All right, number four is this. How do you develop deeper communication in marriage? How do you develop deeper communication in marriage? All right. Steve.
I'm the worst. I can tell you how not to.
Yeah, do the opposite.
Amen.
Amen.
One of the hardest struggles a marriage goes through is finance. And we have struggled with that for a long time. But one thing that we have started to do is, Robin and Jerry here? Oh, they were first service. they have a small group financial piece, and I strongly suggest that you take that course, especially if you're young and just getting started out in your marriage, because one way to start that communication is sitting down doing a budget. We haven't sat down and done the budget, but the communication to sit down and do it is pretty in-depth. I'm almost afraid to do the budget because of what we've talked about before we've done the budget. But I strongly suggest that because everything that we're going through ties to the finances, and the communication ties to that. And because that's a really hard struggle in a lot of marriages, and especially in ours. I'll admit it. But I think sitting down and talking, just starting on your finances, it carries over into everything else that you struggle with.
Yeah.
And you end up in some pretty deep conversations.
Yeah. That's great. Anybody else?
Tina.
Yes.
Yes. Tina.
I think one of the big things in communication is to stop talking and listen. Mm.
That's good. As she stops.
Can you
talking.
Repeat that?
Yeah.
I think in ours, part of That's it good. Is you've got to set the time aside. You've got to decide when the best time is for what your spouse or you to pay attention. I know with me, we've dealt with this hard. She thinks she'll be talking to me that, you know, women can multitask. I can't. I'm a one-minded guy. So if I'm watching TV, I am watching the football game. I'm watching that. There is no
glory.
There is no kidding me. But she thinks she's talking to me, and I'm like, no. So she gets frustrated. So with us, we've had to set time aside. You know, for us, it's mostly like when we go to bed, we'll lay in there for a while and talk and go over the stuff. She knows that's the time for me, and I understand. You know, we've just had to learn that. If you don't, you have to be purposeful in your communication, because if you just think you're going to talk when she wants to talk, I'm not paying attention, or when I think I'm talking, that she's paying attention, it just doesn't happen a lot of times.
Yeah, that's good. Anybody else?
Yeah, so we struggled with communication when we first got married, and that was because we both assumed that we could read each other's minds, and so she would want something done, and just automatically she'd think it and think, oh, Bo's going to get it done later today, you know, because he knows me. Or I would do the same thing with her and end up in a screaming match, you know, at the end of the day. But I think one thing that we do well in our marriage for communication is that we actually take the time to do it.
Yeah.
Because she had mentioned first service that we have to learn each other. She knows that if she talks to me at like 10 o'clock at night when I'm laying in bed, my mind's already saying I'm going to sleep. And she'll be talking to me, and I'll wake up next morning and probably not even remember what we had a conversation. And so, you know, the same thing, she's not really, that she's that way in the morning, you know, until she has her coffee. Because I get up, I have my coffee, and I'm talkative like she is at night, in the morning. And so I think our happy medium has been car rides, you know. And like Rick just whispered to me, he's like, does Ashley take you on car rides? Because she knows you can't jump out while you're going.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a couple times that one of us have tried to get out, but it's automatic door locks. Just keep hitting them. But yeah, you know, it's just taking the time out to have a conversation, because life goes by so fast that, you know, you just can't have a conversation through text message and expect that to be the end.
Wow,
which, you know,
good.
Speaking of that, you know, don't have a major conversation over text.
That's good.
Go ahead.
I had to learn. I used to text him long texts, and I'd be like, did you get it all? And he's like, no, I didn't even look at it. So I'm like, oh,
mute the
great. But one thing to add to that is that you have to come and not be selfish about communication. Like, you communicate how I want to. Like, you have to, like you said, learn your spouse and learn how to communicate with them. Because when we first got married, I would try to text him and solve all of our problems why he's working, and that didn't work out very well. But yeah.
Do you guys ever get tractor time?
We did before Stetson.
Right? Yeah,
not
yeah.
Anymore.
Before Stetson. All right. Anybody else have anything to say about that one? Yes, Autumn.
I think you have to make it a priority to work on your communication, because
I don't want to be a stranger to Rick when our kids are grown and out of our house.
Mm. That's good.
So if we don't work on it now, are we still going to be together if we don't? You know what I'm saying? You have to make it a priority to work on it.
Yeah. That's so good. There was a poll where men were asked, what are you willing to die for? What do you think some of the responses were? Just anybody. Just
money.
Die for money. That wasn't one of mine, but I'm sure it was. I'm sure. What else? What else? Sports. These are... Okay, like family and God. And these were the... I was like, wow, we should... Maybe that's an old poll. Let's... We need to, I love that, sports and money. What are men willing to die for? The Lord, kids, wife, those types of things. But men, I just want to talk to us because sometimes we're outdone by our wives in the area of communication. Sometimes they're better communicators than we are. And so if we would die for them, let's live for them. Let's get into the conversations that are difficult. Number five is this. What if you were unequal? This is a good question now. And there were several that came in that were pretty much the same deal. So I'm going to give you two questions that kind of can be answered with one. But what if you are unequally yoked with your spouse? What if they are, the second question is, what if they are not leading the family spiritually? So what if you're unequally yoked with your spouse? And if you are equally yoked with them, like you're both believers, what if the husband is not leading the family spiritually? Who would like to tackle this one? Yeah, the bus is coming.
Apparently I ran him over with the bus first service. Not meaning to, but when Steve and I got together, we really didn't talk religion. I was LDS. I really wasn't sure what he was or if he believed. I mean, I'd heard some stories about his parents and to be careful because they're really a Christian, which I love. But going to church, LDS church, taking my kids, trying to be, you know, a part of God's life, and it just started to not feel right anymore. He wasn't coming, and then I just stopped going because, you know, he wasn't there. So when we had a good friend invite us to come to this church, he came without me because I was sick, and he asked me to come with him the next week. I said yes, whatever it takes to get us together as a family, because I do feel it is very important, and to see the change in our children and just our family all together with Christ in the center has been amazing.
Yeah.
That was going to be, thank you, what I was going to say. None of these questions can really be answered without Christ in it.
Sure.
He has to be up front and foremost. Without him, we don't sit up here. We don't sit together anywhere. We were on the verge of being done. And had it not been for coming back to Christ, we wouldn't be together. Wow. And so... there's a lot of great answers, but the most important answer to me to all of those is having Christ involved.
Yeah.
Because without him, there is no other answers that really make sense.
Yeah.
For me, anyways.
It's good. There was a Facebook response to this one question that was asked, and I want to give you this response because I thought it was great. So the question is, what if you're unequally yoked with your spouse? This answer was, love him unconditionally and the children. Lead your children by example and remind yourself that you are not your husband's Holy Spirit. I like that. That was pretty good. And then the last part is the most important part, I think. And pray, 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 and pray that God finishes the work that he began in your husband. Can I say this, that it is biblically, and there's not been one marriage that I have performed a marriage ceremony where I have not looked at the husband and I looked at them in their eyeballs and said, listen, it is your responsibility to make sure that your family walks with God. It's a challenge that I give every single young man or old man. It doesn't matter if they've been married once, if they've been married 10 times, I share with them, it's your responsibility to make sure that your family walks with God. Now, if they defer that, then women, somebody has to be the spiritual leader of the home. And I'm just telling you this, that it's okay for you to step up. There was a time in Tina and my life where I was selfish, and she still had in her heart that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so, you know, I was being a knucklehead. She was taking the kids to church. She was, you know, she was committed to the things of God. And because of that, you know, I believe that we are where we are today. And so women, somebody, if your husband's not being the spiritual leader of the home, it's okay for you to. I want to read a passage of Scripture real quick, too, that answers this. This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 12. It says, to the rest I say that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. And if any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbelieving partner, if they separate, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. Now, let me give you a picture as to what this is saying. So if you love the Lord and you've got a husband, I'm talking to the women, you've got a husband that doesn't know God and he is at peace with still being with you and making the marriage work, then what this is saying is you stay with your husband. Don't divorce him. And it's the same is true if it's a husband and a wife, it's just flipped. But this is the idea. The idea is not for the unbeliever to have influence on the believer, but the believer to stay committed to the things of God and be of influence to the unbeliever. Do you understand what I'm saying? So listen, you don't stop doing what a Christian does just because your spouse is not believing or is not taking their rightful place. So with that, does anybody else have any comments or thoughts on that? All right. Okay. All right. Number six is this. This is a good one, and Monty and Chris, I would love for you guys to definitely speak to this one. Once the kids are gone, what changes need to be made to stay romantically engaged? Once the kids are gone, what changes need to be made to stay romantically engaged?
Funny. He assumed that we have time for romance. Just a little feedback on us. We are just now, I find, being married, finally. Monty has had his job that he has spent. He's a truck driver. He's
how
on
many
the road.
Years of marriage?
We have been married 29 years.
29
year.
Years, and just now.
Just now,
yeah,
are figuring
on,
out that we can be married together. He had his thing 95% of the time, and I had my thing because he was gone 95% of the time. So for us to come together, that was something we really had to work on, but, and we still do every single day. But all that to say is that I think we became selfish. Hmm. We became, okay, this is my time, and now, oh, he's home.
Sure.
Now, he wants my time. And so the kids are gone, but there still, it didn't seem like we could ever come together and make that work because I had my stuff already going on, and then he'd walk in the door and expect me to, I have to incorporate him. Mm. And the same thing on his end is that it was hard for me to stop what I was doing to be the wife I was supposed to be.
Sure.
So now that he's had a lifestyle change and I've had a lifestyle change, we're now able to come together and see if we can figure this marriage thing out after 29 years.
Awesome. It's good.
Yeah, we don't know. I need to duplicate what I did last time. I don't remember it.
Yeah, no. You just. All right. Anybody else?
Make a few comments.
Yes.
I do. We get so busy raising our kids. You have kids. You got to do what you got to do to make it work. They're your responsibility. So you go out there and struggle. And our arrangement, I watched all these kids being raised by daycare. In fact, we had a daycare for a little while. And it just, I didn't want to go there. So I went to work to pay for it, and Chris raised the kids for 80, 90% of the time. She had a few jobs here and there. I worked hard. I started out farming 15 hours a day, and then I went to trucks. So me being around much just didn't happen. But going through that, we made more money. We come up out of food stamps and kids on the lunch programs. So I was making more money, but we didn't have any more money. So I'm mad. I'm like, what's going on? Well, we're having to pay for all this stuff that we used to be subsidized on. So you got to learn to grow through that. And that's what I was talking about last service. The excitement of getting married, you're exciting, it's new. New stuff's exciting, fun to do. Let's go out and venture into it, figure it out. And we've been through that about every 3 years. Your life changes. Mm. You change jobs, your kids grow. So you have to make these adjustments and go on through. And it's led to the point where we're making lots of money and it ain't worth it. I backed off because I didn't want to spend 7 years paying for vehicles.
Sure.
So we backed off, and now we're readjusting again. And, all the pretty bells and whistles to make us look good, you can have them. I want my time back, and I want to spend my time with
kids. Yeah.
Yeah, I worked my guts out to raise my kids, and now I got 12-year-old grandkids still doing the same thing. I'm like, skip it.
Awesome. All right. Anybody? Jen?
I was just going to make a comment, when he says excitement. That excitement that you feel when you first get married or you're dating is so much fun. We give my daughter and her new husband a hard time because they do the quirkiest little fun loving things with each other, and I sit there and look at that, and it's funny, but you wish you had that. So I think it's really important to work on just the little love and the fun that you can have with each other.
Yeah.
So I got a question to that question.
Sure.
Do they ever leave home?
Oh. No comment. All right, the last and the final question. Are you ready? All right. The last question is, should you have friends outside of your spouse? And if so, what should it look like? Should you have friends outside of your marriage? And if so, what should it look like? There was a couple of people that asked this, and so who would like to go first?
I will, Pastor.
Okay.
I think it's necessary, to be honest with you. I think it's necessary to have some friends outside of your marriage, okay? If I have friends of the same sex, if I have guys, whether they're married or single, I think it's good for my relationship. First of all, I'm going to say this is my opinion, but it should look like this. It should look like God, my spouse, my children, then my family, my friends, okay? But when my friends get between there somewhere where they don't belong, therein the problems start. All right. So I think you can pick up some really good things from some of your friends. There was a couple guys in first service, older gentlemen, that I've had the pleasure of spending some time around. And I've learned some great things about being a father, about being a husband, about how to approach your work and the balance of those things. So I think we can pick up some great things from our friends. I think the problem comes in when we get married men or women, okay, doing things together that single people do, okay? And you can figure that out on your own.
Say that one more time.
Yeah, when we get married people together or married and single people together doing things that single people do that aren't healthy for your marriage. Sure. I think that's where the problem comes in. I can't live as a married man like I did as a single man, sure. Okay? I can't do it. It's not helpful. I mean, one, for my wife and I's relationship, it's not helpful for my boys that are watching me, how I treat my mother and those things. So I think absolutely, you know, Steve and I talked after, you know, first service, you know, you get some guys, some good people that, and be intentional about who you spend your time around. Okay. My dad used to say to me, birds of a feather flock together. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it was usually because we weren't good birds at that time, okay?
You were a dirty bird.
Yeah, we were dirty birds. We were the falcons, all right? But I had to find some better birds, okay? Some better birds to surround myself with to help me become a better person. In turn, made me a better father, a better Christian, a better husband, all right? And you can spend time. You can learn. And I said it in first service, and I'm sorry I'm taking so long, guys. But there's a room full of people here from all different walks of life that have been through all kinds of different situations. I see people that have been married 50, 60 years, people that are married 5, 6 months, people that have been divorced and remarried, people that are divorced and are figuring it out so that they're the best they can be for the next time they get married, okay? But there's somebody in here that you can group up with, okay? And I would recommend starting off with somebody of the same sex, okay? Because it's good for your marriage, all right? And find out, hey, you know what? I've watched you. You've been married 50 years. Tell me, what's your secret, okay? Sure. You know, what is the secret to becoming successful in this? And I think those people can be very good for our relationship.
That's good. Ashley? Bo? Okay. All right.
So we, you know, when it comes to friends, I think it's great to have friends. You know, I've got high school guy friends that I've known for, well, since we were like 5 and 6 that we hang out with. She's got her girlfriends. But also, you know, when we're talking about friends, growing up, I've got friends that are girls, and she's got friends that are guys. And I mean, us getting married doesn't mean that we don't talk to them anymore. But what happened is her friends became my friends,
sure.
And my friends became her friends. There was no my girlfriend, you know, that I would go out. You know, I'm not going to go out alone with a girl that's not my wife to dinner or to lunch, you know, just to catch up or even, you know, I've been told this is weird, but I don't think so. I think it keeps me out of trouble, but even text messaging or Facebook or social media, unless it's somebody texting me, but most of the time, like 99% of the time, I'll include her if I'm texting another girl or woman in that group chat, just so that there's never something that could be said against me, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And she has full reign of my phone. She knows my contacts, who I text, who's on my social media. It's the same with her phone. You know, I know who she's talking. I know her friends. I know who she works with. And it's just, you know, keeps us safe, you know, because I love her and we plan on 50 years. And you know, why ever risk anything? So
that's my opinion. Good. Love it. Anybody else?
I want to piggyback on what Rick was talking about. In first service, he took all my words, and so I couldn't say anything. But I think it's absolutely necessary that you have friends that you can bounce stuff off of. People that you've known for a long time, or even a short period of time. And like Rick says, it's got to be intentional. People that are same-minded as you, wanting to go in the same direction as you.
Sure.
I think, you know, small groups in the church are very important. pastor talks about it all the time. And as I get going through these small groups, I find out how important they are, because you get to talk about things like these and you get to work with people who, you know, if you look around, everybody's gone through the same kind of stuff, just a different way. And so you can help each other through all these things. And so I feel like it's necessary that you have these friends, but they should be intentional, and they should be people that you can, one, mentor and be mentored by and headed in the same direction.
Yeah, that is good. Rick, you got some more to say?
You know what, and like I say, Steve and I talked a little bit in the hallway after church. This is something that I feel strongly about, okay? We all spend time around people that don't believe that we do, okay? And I think sometimes we get it wrong when we get saved, we turn our lives over to God and say, hey, I can't be with that person anymore at all. And I think that's not always true, because how are they ever going to see Christ reflected in our lives if we don't spend time together? Sure. I don't care if it's playing ball, if it's hunting and fishing. You can use your influence for what God's put inside you to reach those people. So through friendships, you know, that becomes a ministry. And I mean, my wife's been very supportive. I have friends that have been friends since kindergarten that don't serve the Lord or don't come to our church, okay? But me spending time around them is letting me be Jesus to them, okay? Good. And I think it's good.
It's really good. I want to give you, there was one Facebook response that I thought was great. It was this: one flesh doesn't mean that they cease to be individuals. Just as in the body of Christ, it's the uniqueness of the individuals that makes the whole work much better. I thought that was very good. Everybody, have you enjoyed today? Yeah. Has it been great? Amen. I just want to say thank you so much to our panel. Every single one of them, when they were approached, they were like, well, I don't know. You know, I don't. But didn't they do a great job sharing their life? So good.
That's it for today's teaching. Hey, here's an idea. Share today's message with a friend or family member. If you're listening from outside our fellowship, we'd love to meet you. Visit graceid.org and hit the contact form to get in touch. We'd also love for you to join us. Services are Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m., as well as our Wednesday evening service at 6:30 p.m. You can even check us out on Facebook Live by searching Facebook for Grace Church Rupert ID. Learn more and plug in at graceid.org. Thanks for listening to this week's message from Grace Community Church.